May 2nd. Sheila and I met for coffee at Linway's this morning at 7:30. I remember when 7:30 seems like mid-morning to me. Back in my teaching days, I was up at 5:45 just to have some me time and sometimes to start a new exercise routine. Always short-lived. I know there are people who thrive on early morning workouts. When I try working out in the morning, I spend most of my time feeling like I'm about to throw up, which is my body's way of saying, try this again tonight around 7:30. Which, of course, I never do. After I retired, I vowed to never get out of bed before 9:30 at the earliest, but it's hard to shake old habits. All the same, I'm usually still in bed at 8, reading or checking Instagram on my phone. I only follow quilters. Okay, quilters and Julia Roberts, who I've always adored, although when Katie and I rewatched Pretty Woman a couple of summers ago, I was a little shocked by how easily I accepted its premises when I saw it in 1991. You know, that it's not that bad a thing to be a prostitute, all things considered, except sometimes men get a little handsy. Anyway, there's always amazing quilting content on Instagram, and I can go down a rabbit hole like nobody's business. So, even when I get up early, I don't tend to get out of bed early. I like lounging and feeling like a lady of luxury. Hey, I'm a retired teacher. I have earned my laziness. But if I want to hang out with my best friend, it turns out that I need to be up and at 'em with the birds singing in the trees outside my window at sunrise. I called in our order, Sheila told me, waving her hand over the food already on the table, as though she were Tinkerbell waving a magic wand. I was hoping I could order on their website, but it turns out Linway's doesn't have a website. I'm surprised they have a phone, I told her as I surveyed all of the goodies. Hey, I see a lot of fruit on this platter. Do you think they got our order wrong? I ordered the half-fruit, half-pastries platter, Sheila admitted. Tom's doctor told him to cut way down on carbs.
And what exactly does that have to do with us? I asked, my eyes narrowing.
Sheila gave a half-hearted shrug. If I eat too many donuts, I'll feel disloyal to Tom.
Well, at least she had the courtesy to look embarrassed about it. Fine, I huffed, but I may end up getting some supplemental cinnamon rolls. I have needs, you know.
Sheila lowered her head. I have something to tell you, Marn, and it's going to be really hard. I'm sort of dreading it, to be honest.
Are you sick? I asked, clutching the edge of the table. Did something happen to one of the girls?
Oh, Marnie, I'm so sorry. It's nothing like that.
Sheila reached across the table to pat my hand.
It's just that I'm thinking about taking up intermittent fasting.
I stared at her. But you promised.
I know, Sheila said. But, Marn, I don't know what else to do.
About what?
My butt.
Sheila stood and turned around.
Look at it. It's huge.
It is a perfectly normal-sized butt for a postmenopausal woman, I argued. Please do not make me outline what I'm absolutely sure Tom finds attractive about your rear end. I really can't go there, Sheila. Sheila turned around and sat back down.
But right now he's looking at me through the eyes of love, Marn.
What happens when the fog lifts and he sees me as I really am? There was no use going through the usual song and dance of Tom loves you exactly as you are and always will unless he's an idiot, which he doesn't seem to be. I've done that routine too many times. Clearly, it wasn't making it through Sheila's thick skull. So I tried a different approach. Pretend I'm Carrie or Grace. Pretend I'm Carrie shaking my butt in your face complaining about how big it is. What would you say? Sheila's reply was automatic.
You're absolutely perfect as you are, and any man who doesn't see that is an idiot.
I leaned back in my seat. I rest my case. Don't be a hypocrite, Sheila. You would never accept one of your daughters judging themselves on the basis of their perceived butt size.
It's true, I wouldn't.
Sheila eyeballed a banana muffin.
I wonder if that's got nuts in it. Because nuts are healthy.
They're extraordinarily healthy, I agreed, as are bananas. But seriously, Sheila, promise me no fasting, because this is the only time we have together anymore.
But do we have to meet in a diner?
Sheila said.
Sometimes I'm afraid our friendship is simply an excuse to eat donuts.
I glared at her. Take that back. Take it back right now. Sheila rubbed her forehead.
I'm sorry, Marnie. I don't know what came over me. I think I'm working too hard.
Do you want me to come back to Thimble Pleasures? I asked. I'd be happy to, even if it's just a few hours a week.
I think I need to learn how to delegate better. That's what Emily says. You're not irreplaceable, Mom. You only think you are.
She's got a point, I said, plucking a cinnamon donut from the platter and setting it down on my plate. I know Thimble Pleasures is your baby, but maybe you ought to get a babysitter from time to time. Carol would be great. She could definitely run the shop when you need her to. She did it when we went to QuiltCon.
She did a terrific job, too, Sheila said,
and then paused to take a bite of muffin.
Oh, there's chocolate chips instead of nuts, she said after she finished chewing. But I don't think the calories count, since I didn't know they were there.
No harm, no foul, I agreed. So could you raise Carol's pay and make her assistant manager? Sheila nodded.
The shop's doing very well.
Of course, I'd have to be firm about what she can and cannot do.
She's really sucking up to the art quilters lately. She put in an order for a case of Shiva paint sticks the other day. She says they'll sell out, but I have my doubts.
There's a Sakwa exhibit in Columbus in November, I pointed out. Maybe that will get everyone excited about making art quilts.
Maybe.
Sheila didn't sound convinced.
All I'm saying is that I'll have to lay out some rules and regulations if I'm going to give Carol any more power.
Oh, this is going to be fun, I said, signaling to the waitress that I needed more coffee. It's going to be like Game of Thrones for quilters.
Have you actually watched Game of Thrones, Marn? Sheila asked.
I shook my head. Daryl said I'd find it upsetting. Do you think I should?
Well, if you're going to start comparing me and Carol to Cersei Lannister and Sansa Stark, then maybe you should.
So I told her I would, and then we talked about all the great places she and Tom might go on vacation, should Sheila ever convince herself to leave town for more than a long weekend. You won't last a single episode, Daryl predicted when I got home and told him I was going to watch Game of Thrones. I've gotten pretty tough over the years, I argued. I think I'm finally ready for Game of Thrones. You'll see. Diary, I lasted halfway through the first episode. Until the scene where... Well, never mind. Let's just say I spent the rest of the day binging on Downton Abbey in an effort to recover. May 12th. Well, as they say, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. In this case, he moved me to church this morning where, lo and behold, I found my Maisie Baker-McGrath connection. It was the first time I'd been to church since before the pandemic. I've been feeling guilty about not going, but I just haven't felt motivated to go, at least not back to First Presbyterian. To be perfectly frank, I got tired of the politics from the pulpit. Milton Falls has all sorts of political action groups, from right-wing conservatives to defund the police left-wingers, so if I want politics, I know where to find them. I just don't want to find them in church. Anyway, if Jessica hadn't asked me to come with her to help with the kids, I probably never would have gone back. But she did, so I went. Have I mentioned that Jessica has decided that the twins need spiritual formation? It's the latest thing with the mothers of preschoolers crowd. I was always jealous of my best friend growing up, Jessica confessed to me last week when she was picking up the kids from an afternoon playdate with me and Daryl. She was Catholic, and she had to go to catechism school on Fridays. I asked Mom if I could go too, but she said no. We weren't Catholics, and she wasn't planning on converting. In fact, if she was going to convert to any religion, she said, it would be Sufism. I have no idea why. I shrugged. I don't know much about Sufi Muslims, but I think there's a pretty strong emphasis on purity and non-materialism. No offense, but that doesn't scream Abby to me. Me either. She must have read an article somewhere. Anyway, I really hadn't thought much about religion one way or the other, and then the other day, we passed a church on our way to school, and Taylor asked what those sticks were on top of the roof, by which he meant the cross. He's only 4, I pointed out. He might have asked that even if you guys were churchgoers. But we're not, Jessica replied, and Sam has no interest. But I kind of do. I mean, I think it would be nice to believe in something, for the kids to believe in something. Anyway, I was thinking I might take my little trio to St. Luke's on Sunday. You know, try it out. I was hoping you might come with me. I said yes, of course, even though wrangling the twins during a church service didn't sound like anyone's idea of a good time. Still, St. Luke's is where Maisie Baker McGrath got married, and the rector, Father Travis, who Haley Wilde and I met when we went to ask about using the church parking lot for the Quilt Museum's overflow, was such a nice guy. I was curious to see what kind of church he was running. Finally, it doesn't hurt that the chapel, which was built in 1908, looks like it belongs on a village green somewhere in England, which is to say it has serious Downton Abbey vibes. Maybe we could go out for tea afterwards. Or, more to the point, maybe we could go out for tea cakes. Or pie. Pie after church. It sounded like a family tradition in the making. Anyway, that's how I found myself in my old, slightly tighter than last time I put them on, church clothes this morning, walking up the steps into St. Luke's. Inside the sanctuary, it smelled like beeswax and lemon oil. Jessica and I decided a pew toward the back would be the best. The twins would go to children's church for most of the service, it turned out, and Alyssa would stay in church with me and Jess. Alyssa is almost 7 months old now and curious about everything. Jess and I passed her back and forth because baby wrangling takes a lot of energy. Don't get me wrong, she was an angel baby, as always. But she wanted to look around and would twist this way and that to get a better angle on things. No one seemed to mind. After the service was over, we were swarmed by people welcoming us to St. Luke's and complimenting us for being in possession of such an adorable and well-behaved baby. Would we stay for coffee hour? The boys could play with the other children on the small playground out back while we drank our coffee and ate pastries. The pastries are always divine, a woman playing peekaboo with Alyssa told us. The vicar picks them up from Crumb first thing every Sunday. Say no more. Jessica took the twins to the playground, and I hoisted Alyssa on my hip and headed straight for the parish hall, where a delectable array of bear claws, crawlers, and chocolate-covered donuts were on display. I found myself in line next to Father Travis, who had a delectable-looking piece of crumb cake on his plate. "This is really why I come to church," he confessed. "The food is so good." "Aren't you in charge of church?" I asked, using tongs to select a choice bear claw from a platter. "Don't you have to be here?"
"I wouldn't say I'm in charge."
Father Travis directed his gaze heavenward.
"Though it is true I'm the only one besides our head warden and the curate who have keys to the building. Oh, I see a free table over in the corner. Come sit with me and tell me the latest news about the Quilt Museum."
After I gave him the update, I brought up Maisie Baker McGrath. "She was married here sometime in the 1940s, I told Father Travis, maybe 1946. But I don't know if she was a member of the church. She's still alive, and if I knew her, I could ask her. But I don't know her, and I don't know anybody who does." Father Travis took a sip of coffee before replying. "I could introduce you to her daughter, Jean. She's our church secretary."
"Is she here now?"
I practically yelled. Several people turned to look at me, and I lowered my voice. "Just point her out and I'll introduce myself." "No, she goes to the Methodist church. As a rule, church secretaries don't attend the churches they work at. They know too much dirt on the parishioners. It can make things uncomfortable, to say the least. Come by on Tuesday morning around 10, if that works for you. You'll like Jean a lot, though I must warn you, she's a formidable woman. I hear her mom is, too."
"Oh, I can't wait," I said. "This is so exciting that I might just have to eat another bear claw."
"That might be a good idea." Father Travis pointed at Alyssa, who was sitting in my lap. Sure enough, she demolished the bear claw that had been on my plate and was now reaching over for Father Travis's cake. Diary, I have never been prouder.
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.